Okay. Alright, stop worrying, let's do it too. Suddenly a pair of arms embrace him, a familiar scent trickles his nostrils, she smells like sunlight, his familiar environment has been completely restored. Yuka and Yoshiki fade away, only the girl behind him feels real to him anymore, he doesn't even need to turn around to know who it is. Akane. Hey Kyoji, you'll make me feel even better, right? Akane looks up at Kyoji, her face slightly flushed. You'll make me feel much, much better than a man like him, right? Akane's hands crawl over Kyoji's chest. She undoes his uniform, shirt's buttons, and caresses his exposed skin. Come on, Kyoji. His mind feels foggy. Wrong, wrong. Someone inside him is shouting. Kyoji's lips stir sluggishly. Earlier, just now, really just a moment ago, he remembered something important. Something purple and round floats before his eyes. It's blurry, so he can't see it very well. What is this? What is it again? Hey, Kyoji, forget it, okay? Let's have some more sex. Fuck me. He's helpless as she pushes him down on the bed next to Yoshiki. Akane flips up her skirt, lowering her naked waist onto Kyoji. The contours of the purple object before him gradually become more defined. It's a morning glory. He doesn't even respond to Akane's exposed genitals, his head is too befuddled. All he can do is panic. Yoshiki turns his face to look at Kyoji, where he lies on the nearby bed. His lips are moving, he's saying something. I can't hear you! Kyoji, hurry up and put it in already! Hey, what are you trying to say? You know something, don't you? Please, tell me! There, see? I'm wet and waiting for you. Akane rubs his crotch against Kyoji's. Akane rubs her crotch against Kyoji's. The feel of her softness threatens to rob him of his senses, so Kyoji screams out at the top of his lungs. Hey! At that moment, Yoshiki's expression changes. Yoshiki's emaciated features are replaced by the indomitable will and fearlessness that Kyoji remembers. Pendant. Right, the pendant. The moment the words leave his lips, it feels like a clear breeze blows through his mind. The hospital room vanishes. As if a dam had broken within him, the pent-up sludge that had clouded his mind spilled forth and vanished. The pendant. Where did I put it? Yuka's voice calls out to him. It seems she's lost sight of him. Kyoji scours his memories. He needs to find that pendant now. He's certain that it's the key to restoring Akane back to normal. He's in a white space with no discernible beginning or end. It's like he just wandered into a bank of fog. Kyoji sprints through this white world. He has to find that pendant soon before Yuka catches up to him! Why Akane is like this, or how is Yuka still alive after what happened, none of that matters right now. He needs to find that pendant. If he only had that, something would have to change. But where did he put it? Kyoji stops in his tracks right beside him, half of Yuka's face is poking out of the fog, looking to the side. Then her head. Her perilously fragile looking neck, her delicate shoulders and torso emerge. Kyoji lets out a soft squeak and bolts away in a different location. Kyoji feels a mist form behind him, thickly enveloping the area. It was as if it was trying to protect him. Don't get in my way, you pest! You don't even have any strength left in you! You're dead, damn it! Someone's protecting him. He can feel some will spurring him forward. To the sound of Yuka shouting abuse in the distance, Kyoji runs on. He has to remember. Where's the pendant? Back there in that illusory place, he was on the cusp of remembering it. The voices from that night surface in his memory. That thing scares me. Can you put it somewhere where I can't see it? It scares you, why? I mean, I don't want to be reminded of that severed arm. I mean, who would? Right, Akane definitely said that. What next? It feels like the fog before his eyes is thinning out. He can see through it now as if a thin, transparent veil hangs over the space. He pulls out the pen. He pulls the pendant out of his pocket, and then he, the desk. Right, the desk drawer. Kyoji lunges at the desk and pulls the drawer open. But then Kyoji feels someone's hands wrap around him. Quick, before they can stop him. He can barely see the leather strap, but he hooks it with a finger. Sharp claws tear through his shirt and into his arm. For a second, they struggle, and then. Gore lets out a high-pitched screech like the shriek of a whistle. Kyoji brandishes the pendant coiled around his hand in Gore's direction. Blood wells up from his slashed arm, but he doesn't feel any pain. Only heat. Gore pulls away, fleeing from Kyoji's hand. No, away from the stone dangling from the pendant. Aha, so this stone really is your kryptonite, huh? Kyoji glares at Gore, a triumphant smile on his face. Gore isn't acting like his usual chatty self. He can't so much as utter a word. But that answers Kyoji's question far more eloquently than words ever could. The hems of Gore's black mantle flutter and warp, becoming transparent in places. I don't know what this thing is, but it's pretty clear it works wonders against you, and that's all I need to know. Kyoji slowly approaches Gore. With nonsensical squeaks, Gore slowly backs away until he's up against the wall. Kyoji smirks at him. Begone, you monster! Just when Kyoji's about to press the pendant against Gore, Gore's mantle flaps more vigorously than ever before, and then it parts in two. It's like in the story of Moses parting the Red Sea. There's suddenly an unfathomably deep hole in the center of Gore's body. An expressionless Akane steps out from within that void. She stands between them, shielding Gore. Akane! As soon as he calls out to her, he realizes he's wrong. Akane looks at Kyoji with an odd gaze in her eyes. A resigned, almost mournful gaze. Right, you're not Akane, are you? You're right. I'm right, aren't I? You're not Akane. Akane says nothing. Her expression gives the impression that it's less her being at a loss about how to answer, and more that she feels there's no need to even reply. Kyoji bites his lip. Just when did Akane stop being herself? Kyoji feels something flare up within him. Rage at this monster, this thing wearing Akane's face surges up from the pit of his stomach. Damn it, Yuka! What have you done with Akane? For the first time, Yuka shows a reaction. Her lips gently curl up. She coils a finger around a strand of hair and starts toying with it. That gesture reminds him of something he saw Yuka do once. So you recognize me? Her clingy, sickeningly sweet tone of voice. Akane would never talk like this. It makes a shiver run down Kyoji's spine. I'm so happy. When did you realize it was me? Kyoji can't quite mark when it was he realized. His perception of time has been off since the day he first slept with Akane. No, maybe it's been off ever since the explosion. The changes in her speech patterns, in her gestures, and more than anything, that the upstanding Akane would debase herself with such perverse acts. But what really settled it was the morning glories. Who cares about stupid morning glories? Tell me, how did you know? See, it's because you say things like that. That's how I knew. Kyoji cracks a bitter smile. Yuka, by contrast, cocks her head. What do you mean? That doesn't matter. He brings the pendant closer to Yuka. Give Akane back! What are you talking about? This is Akane. Cut the bullshit out and let Akane go. Yuka sighs like she's trying to calm a child throwing a tantrum. This isn't bullshit, I'm telling the truth. This is Akane's body. I took it. You what? Which means that Akane is seeing now is just her physical shell. Kyoji doesn't believe in souls. He always thought such things didn't exist, but if what Yuka's saying is true, where did the real Akane's mind go? As Kyoji freezes up, Yuka approaches him, smiling. Coming to his senses, Kyoji thrusts the stone back at her. But unlike Gore, who's standing motionless as a statue in the corner of the room, Yuka, occupying Akane's body, doesn't flinch away from it. That stone doesn't work on me like it does on Gore. It only hurts a little bit, is all.
was them?
It was me who cut off Yoshiki's arm, you know. Yuka contorts Akane's face into a ruthless smirk. It's not the innocent yet cruel smile of a child tearing the limbs off an insect. She did what she did knowing full well how cruel it was. Yuka takes another step towards Kyoji. Admit it, Kyoji. You loved having sex with me. I loved it. So the one he slept with so many times was an Akane after all. That confirmation naturally turns Kyoji's voice bitter. Where did you put the real Akane? What does it matter? I'm a much better lover than that creature. Yuka says with an ecstatic smile. Answer me! What did you do with a real Akane? Yuka's expression changes a little. I did all of this for you, Kyoji, because I love you more than anyone. Just forget about that stupid woman already. Are you kidding? Knock it off with that bullshit. If anyone's talking bullshit here, it's you, though. Yuka heaves another sigh and carries on like she's explaining something to an unreasonable child. I love you more than anyone in the whole wide world, and I went to Akane's body, the body you love. So you should be happy, Kyoji. That's insane. Believe me, I don't want to wear that woman's stinking body, but I'm putting up with it for you. Her reasoning is unbelievable. Yuka says it with utter disgust through Akane's own lips. So you see, Kyoji, you might not understand it, but I did it all for your sake. If you had sex with that filthy woman, it would have only tainted you. Kyoji's anger finally boils over. Stop fucking around. Get the hell out of Akane's body. Don't use Akane's own mouth to insult her. Yuka goes silent. Give Akane back. His hand trembles around the pendant. Even if it only has a mild effect on Yuka, all he can do is hope it'll be enough. The pendant is all he's got. The fact he doesn't understand anything about any of this irks him further. But even so, he's got to get Akane back, come what may. Give Akane back to me, then fuck the fuck off! He realizes how childish he sounds, but it's all he can say. After a long silence, Yuka finally speaks, softly. Why? I care about you more than anyone, Kyoji. Well, I hate your guts! I love you, Kyoji, more than anyone ever could. I'm the only one who really understands you. Well, I don't give a fuck about you. Just let Akane go already! Yuka shakes her head. No, I only took her body because I wanted you to love me. Why do you hate me so? I thought you finally saw me for me. You knew it was me and not Akane. You had sex with me and you loved it, didn't you? Yuka's words are growing incoherent. I didn't have sex with you. I thought you were Akane. It's her I wanted to be with. I only wanted to touch Akane, and I only ever let Akane touch me. If I known it was you inside her, I never would have done that. Yuka's excited voice instantly turns frigid. Never? Yeah, never. Who'd ever want to touch you? I only love Akane, so give her back to me. Toying with a strand of hair around her finger, Yuka hangs her head and speaks quietly. Fine. I'll just kill this body then. What did you say? Kyoji's eyebrows rise up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you won't love me even if I'm wearing this skin, then I don't need it anymore. Heeding Yuka's words, Goro, who's been standing motionless in the back of the room, takes up a position behind Yuka. Goro puts his sharp claws up against Akane's neck. They press against the white skin of her throat, digging gently into the flesh. Ah! Come any closer and I'll really kill her. Yuka's voice is devoid of emotion. If you do that, I'll hate you forever. You'll pay! You'll make me pay, huh? And just what are you going to do? I'll fucking kill you, that's what! If you kill this body, she'll die too, you know. Yuka wears her usual mocking smile. But although Kyoji might only be imagining it, something in her voice gives him the impression she's at her wit's end. I could act more like this woman if that's what it takes. I'll change the way I dress, the way I talk, even my personality. The thought makes me sick to my stomach, but I'll imitate Akane for you. So which will it be? Do you want to watch her die or stay with me forever? What should he do? Kyoji bites his lip. He's hoping that using the stone on Goro would maybe let him get Akane away. But he can't be sure that it'll actually work, and he doesn't know if he can pull Yuka out of Akane's body anyway. Maybe it's possible using the stone, but if he moves too close to her and gives her an opening to tear off his arm like she did Yoshiki, he might just meet the same fate. Then again, Yuka does seem oddly obsessed with him. He doesn't know if she's willing to hurt him like that, but... Ah! A flash of inspiration answers the plan in Kyoji's mind. He has no idea if it'll work, but he can't think of any other options. So Kyoji, which is it? Does she die or live on like this? Looking at her, it seems like Yuka really intends to have Kyoji make that decision. He answers her. Oh shit. This could be the end of the game. Fine, go ahead. Kill her then. And immediately after Kyoji makes his declaration, but then I'll kill myself too. He adds. This is an all or nothing gambit. He stifles his choking breaths and bluffs as strongly as he can. Yuka stares at him stunned before finally parting her lips. Kyoji. I don't want to kill you. And I don't want to die either, but if Akane dies, so will I. How could I live with myself knowing I put Akane through all of this? This is half truth and half lie. If Yuka really loves him and truly doesn't want to kill him, holding his own life hostage is playing dirty, but it might just create an opportunity. In this situation, the only weapon he has is his own life. Why do you have to die for a creature like her? Yuka looks genuinely perplexed, like she has no idea what to do. I already told you, after all the horrible things that Akane went through because of me, there's no way I can continue on without her as if nothing happened. Just forget about that stupid woman already. But I love her! I want to see her! The words leave his lips without him even meaning to say them. But as soon as he says them, he realizes that it's the truth. I want to see Akane again! Akane's face surfaces in his mind's eye. She isn't glaring up at him the way Yuka is right now, but instead she's beaming directly into his eyes with a smile on her lips that's as bright as the sun. As Kyoji hangs his head, Yuka stares fixedly at him. And after a time, Kyoji feels something odd in the air. He looks up to see one more figure standing in front of him. Yuka has appeared at Akane's side, hanging her head. She came out of Akane's body. Akane! He hurries over to Akane, throwing his arms around her. She looks dazed, but her pupils eventually focus on Kyoji. What do we do now? What should we do now? Goro speaks up for the first time in a while. Yuka hangs her head and reaches out to Goro behind her. Kyoji says he doesn't want me. Goro picks Yuka up. She wraps her arms around his neck. And I don't care about a world without Kyoji in it. If Kyoji doesn't want me, I don't want this world either. As Yuka says that, the sound of shattering glass rolls in from a distance. The sound persists closer and closer, steadily approaching the room. It's not just a sound of shattering glass, there's a low rumble too, like an earthquake. Little by little, the floor beneath them starts to tremble. What? A crack runs through the empty space in Kyoji's room. They can't stay here! With Akane in his arms, Kyoji runs. He runs past Gore and Yuka, who stand frozen in place like statues. He reaches for the door, only to find it covered in countless cracks. Gah! It crumbles to pieces and falls apart as the rumbling of the ground crescendos. He sees strange mountains that look like something he once saw in a Chinese landscape painting, and a sky shimmering with a kaleidoscope of phantasmagoric flowers. Before him is a massive spiral staircase at the heart of a barren wasteland. There's nothing at the top of the staircase, but the sky is full of countless eyeballs. Each and every one of them is fixed on Akane and him. What? Every hair on his body stands up in unison. His limbs stiffen with terror, but... Akane hazily calls his name. The real one, guys. Right, he still has Akane. He finally got her back from them. He can't afford to freeze up now, not in a place like this. They're just eyeballs. You can poke them in the eye. Picking Akane up in his arms, he sprints off, still clenching Yoshiki's pendant. The low rumbling grows closer, as tearing noises still ring in his ears. The ground shakes as a strong wind, yet the air feels sticky, viscous. It coils around his body as if trying to drag him down. Where can he even run, though? How can he escape this world? As Kyoji runs around blindly, he can hear Gore's voice. Yuka, are you sure? You really sure? Gore's massive form appears in a corner of the sky. Yuka replies, her face buried in his shoulder. Don't want it anymore. I don't. Her voice echoes everywhere, with the sound of destruction coming from every which way. He can't make out with what she's saying. There's no way out. He can run all he wants, but there's only wasteland in every direction. Akane, who seems to have collected herself now, grips Kyoji's hand tightly. That's right. I still have the pendant. Kyoji brandishes the pendant Yoshiki left him. This is their only chance. He aims at Gore's massive form floating in the sky and throws the pendant at him. A flash of light envelops the area. An explosion louder than all the ones before. It's too bright to see anything. Kyoji and Akane wrap their arms tightly around each other. The air whips up in a whirlwind around them. Opening his eyes just a crack, Kyoji catches a glimpse of Yuka and Gore. Countless tentacles extend from Gore's body, coiling around Yuka's extremities. They slide around her slender arms, her neck, and every part of her. Gore is smiling. But that thought, too, passes in an instant. Huh? Kyoji looks around. What is this place? He has no idea where they are. The place looks familiar, but at the same time, it doesn't look like anywhere he's been before. They're in an overgrown clearing. Looking all around, all he sees are trees. The sky looking behind the greenery is the color of morning, clear and serene. Huh. I think this is where the mansion used to be, Akane says, her voice clear and firm. When he hears her, the realization dawns on him. You're right, but there are no burnt ruins to be seen anywhere. The plants are growing free and thick over the ground as if there never was a building here in the first place. It's just an empty clearing. Where did the ruins go, though? Ruins? Akane cocks her head. Her eyes are distant, like she's trying to read through her memories. Suddenly, her expression fills with anxiety. Wait, why am I dressed like this? She whispers as she starts waving her arms around in a panic. It's not that I don't remember, it's just, I don't really want to believe it, and... She turns red, then pale, all while waving her arms around in a flustered manner. Ah, this is his Akane. It feels like he hasn't seen her in so long, but she's the real deal. Kyoji, why are you smiling? I'm panicking over here. The wind is no longer clinging to them. It simply passes by, caressing their cheeks. The scent of the grass and the color of the sky are gentle and soft. The chirping of the birds and the gentle rustling of beech leaves fill their ears. Realization sets in. They're finally free. For the time being, Kyoji takes Akane back to his place as she insists she doesn't want to go home looking the way she does. With a sewing kit, she can fix her skirt's hem and sew her shirt's buttons back on. That's her plan, at least. Kyoji lends her his jacket, and they do their best to avoid being seen on the way home. Neither of them knows what day it is. How much of those several days' worth of events was real, and how much of it was just an illusion? Kyoji sits in the apartment's living room, flipping through the channels on the TV. He checked the newspaper to confirm today's date. 2 days have passed since the Sunday following Yoshiki's death. It seems his perception of time after Akane went to school in that gaudy getup was accurate enough. He went through a few morning talk shows, but no one's talking about the explosion at Yuka's mansion anymore. It was an incident in a town in the boonies. Maybe public interest is just quick to fade. Maybe this means that the explosion never actually happened. But if that's the case, what about Yoshiki? Kyoji doesn't think his death was an illusion. The strange feeling of loss at the certainty of his passing still lingers in Kyoji's heart. Yamako is not around. She must have gone out. As he keeps aimlessly changing the channels, he hears the door open behind him. Kyoji, thanks for letting me use your shower. Yeah. He answers without turning around. Thanks for the change of clothes, too. Okay. This is awkward. Akane seems to remember what happened while Yuka had control of her body. And although she hasn't explicitly said as much, she probably remembers what the two of them did the day before yesterday. What should he say? How should he even say it? Kyoji's still hesitating when Akane breaks the silence. Kyoji? Yeah? Her voice tapers off. She finishes her sentence in a whisper. We did it, right? Yeah, I guess. But when he did it, it wasn't really with her. That vexes him to no end. I'm sorry, I should have realized it sooner. Akane shakes her head. You don't need to apologize, it's just... It bothers me. I wasn't me when it happened. So Kyoji... He can feel her coming closer. Her fingertips brush across his palm. I want a do-over. He squeezes her hand tightly in response. He turns around, finding her nervously blushing. Are you sure about this? Akane gives him a little nod. She shivers as he gently lifts her chin. They kiss. Even her lips are quivering gently. Their warmth makes his heart ache. They both end up sitting on the bed. With the curtains pulled close and the lights switched off, the room is quite dim. They can only just make out each other's faces. Seeing Akane's face so close makes Kyoji's heart race. Her downcast eyelashes flutter. Her flowing chestnut hair rises and falls in sync with her trembling. The sight truly drives home that his precious childhood friend is finally back. Kyoji gently wraps his arm around Akane's shoulder and pulls her slender body closer to him. You really are the one I love, Akane. She gazes at him. In response, he softly kisses her lips. They feel soft and full against his own. He snakes out his tongue slightly, feeling Akane answer him in kind. The two bashfully coil their tongues together. The stiffness in her body gradually melts away as he holds her in his arms. He caresses her face, her warm skin as soft as a peach against his. His fingers brush against her forehead. He runs them through her hair, causing the fresh scent of soap to waft into his nose. The smell fills him with a cheerful, pleasant feeling that Kyoji has come to associate with the Kazuyagi Akane that he knows. Yeah. He brushes through her smooth chestnut hair a few times, causing her to let out a contented sigh. As they gently fall onto the bed, her hair and skirt fan out across the sheets. As their lips part, Akane looks up at Kyoji, her eyes glistening and wavering. Her lashes quiver. Eventually, she bashfully looks away from him. But soon, she once again directs an upturned glance at him. Kyoji, your teeth. Sorry, I'm kind of not used to this, I guess. It's fine. We'll have plenty of chances to get better at it. Right. They both start giggling. When they carefully lock lips again, Akane lets her eyes flutter shut, completely at ease. Kyoji can feel the rhythm of her heartbeat. Can I touch your chest? Akane makes a bashful sound and looks away as if she can't bear to watch him do so. When Kyoji reaches for her blouse's buttons, he feels her flinch nervously. He has difficulty undoing her buttons with one hand, so for some time they're both too embarrassed to speak. Sorry, Akane chuckles. Kyoji, you've been apologizing all day. Sorry. Akane bursts into laughter. What? You're so funny. Jeez, I love you to bits. Kyoji finally manages to undo her buttons. Her blouse falls open, revealing her white, heaving breasts. He's already seen them plenty of times, but now they look so much more wholesome than before, when they belong to someone else. He carefully reaches out towards them, and as he cups the mounds in his hands, Akane lets out a heated breath. As he silently starts fondling them, her breathing becomes a bit rougher. Akane stirs a bit and snuggles closer to Kyoji, who in turn wraps an arm around her and pulls her against him, caressing her breasts. Soon she buries her face into his chest, muffling her moans. The way she can't hold back the yelps leaving her lips is endlessly adorable to him. Feeling her nipples harden against his palms, he pulls his hands back. He brushes over her nipples with only his palm, yet even that small stimulation is enough to make Akane let out a quiet yelp. Rolling her nipples against his palms makes Akane's voice rise in pitch. A sob-like cry escapes her, causing her body to shiver. When Kyoji pinches one of her nipples, her whole body stiffens. No? She shivers and stirs as her eyes reproachfully look up at Kyoji. It's fine, you're adorable. He enjoys the way she jolts when he rubs against her pink nipples. Her other breast gently shakes in harmony. Kyoji spreads his hand wide and uses his thumb and little finger to touch both of her nipples at the same time. She's unable to hold back the loudest yelp that's escaped her so far. Her voice echoes off the room's walls. Akane gasps for breath, her eyes wide. Her back arches as she rises in his arms. Her noticeably firm up. Her breasts noticeably firm up. He presses his fingers down, pushing her nipples inward, which makes her squeal sweetly out once more. Akane thrashes free of his fingers. She turns her back to him and curls up in order to stop him from touching her. She looks at Kyoji with a pout, her eyes glistening. He hugs her from behind, once again reaching for her chest. This time he softly stimulates the entirety of her breasts. Her breasts feel much heavier in his hands than when she was lying on her back. The nape of her neck is covered in a thin layer of sweat. He licks it and runs his tongue down her back, making her jolt. When he clings to her like this, he can feel every reaction of her so much more clearly. Does that hurt? The impatient stirring of her body causes her open blouse to fall away. Her miniskirt also flips up, revealing her lush thighs. Kyoji reaches out and caresses her thighs, which makes Akane sigh. As Akane continues to pant roughly, he slides his hands towards her belly. When his hands slip between her tightly closed legs, a shiver runs through her. Akane hadn't been wearing panties today. While she was showering earlier, he found her a pair of new boxers. The sight of her legs and hips clad in boxers meant for men invokes an erotic sort of dissonance. The thought Akane is actually more of a boxers than a panties kind of girl has Kyoji stifling a smile. Maybe it shows on his face anyway, But Akane still flush gives Kyoji a suspicious look. When she realizes where he's looking, she bashfully pulls her hip back and gives him an apologetic look. I don't mind. His smile is inaudible in his voice. This is just embarrassing. But she was definitely smiling as well. Kyoji reflects that even the most trivial things are fun and happy when she's with him. He reaches under her skirt, caressing the soft warmth within it. Akane squeezes her eyes shut. She tries to close her legs more tightly, but when Kyoji inches his hand farther up between them regardless, she gradually relaxes. His fingers slip past her wispy underbrush. Unlike when they had sex while everything was all weird, now Akane's genitals are only slightly moist. Her warm, lovely folds are primarily closed and quivering. This is Akane. He slowly moves his fingers, making Akane jolt again. She lets out a small, strained sigh. Sorry, did that hurt? Just a little, but it's fine, so... Akane whispers, her face flushed red. Now and then she sneaks a glance at Kyoji. His gaze meets her feverish, moist eyes, but she soon squeezes them shut and covers her face with her hands. Don't look at me, I feel so embarrassed. Cute. He slowly moves her hands away, coaxing her face towards his. Her lips part in an attempt to complain, but he seals them with another kiss. At the same time, his fingers brush against her privates. Akane shudders again. He circles her opening, spreading around the traces of juices that are seeping out of her. With each stroke, Akane shivers and moans. She wraps her arms around Kyoji's back, enduring the throbbing coming from her depths. They frolic together, stripping each other's clothes off. With each layer of clothing she sheds, Akane becomes more bashful. Kyoji inserts his finger into her slit, feeling a surprising amount of nectar spilling out from within her. He scoops some out with his finger and spreads it around. As if a dam had broken, her love juices overflow on the moistened surface. Squelching noises ring out. Akane tugs on Kyoji's neck in protest. It's fine, you're cute. At this point, her soft flesh is lubricated with her transparent fluids, making it pleasantly slippery. When he tries to probe deeper with his fingers, singular, the soft flesh around him tightens. Akane lets out an entranced voice. He keeps going, and soon his entire finger is buried within her. Her moist, warm folds clench snugly around him. He can feel her pulse throbbing in time with her breathing. Kyoji starts moving his finger around in slow, pulsing, pushing motions as Akane's arms cling firmly to his back. With each movement of his finger, soft and sweet moans escape Akane's lips. Kyoji gradually quickens his pace, yearning to hear her cries crescendo. Whenever the middle joint of his thumb bumps the protrusion at the summit of her slit, she lets out a scream. Her pussy boils with a fresh wave of her juices. Pulling out his finger, he starts rubbing and kneading the throbbing bud. Akane's voice becomes noticeably louder. Akane's hand sees Kyoji's arm. She looks up at him, her eyes moist with tears. I don't want to alone. I want to do it with you, so do it. What, you're about to come? She nods enthusiastically. I don't want to come alone. But Kyoji resumes moving his finger, making Akane yelp. He takes her clit between his fingers and starts to rub it. Even as she continues to protest, Akane writhes with pleasure. As she moans in a strained voice, Akane rushes into orgasm. Akane breathes roughly into Kyoji's chest as her body gradually falls limp. She thumps Kyoji's chest once with a strained expression. I told you not to. You were too cute to stop. Like I care. Akane grumpily averts her eyes, but Kyoji only hugs her and lets his hands roam over her body. His ticklish touch has her lips lifting in a smile even as her body twists beneath his touch. But then Kyoji's member touches Akane's waist. Akane, I want to do it. Kyoji slips between her legs, parting her pale thighs open. Akane looks away, her face blushing and her eyes squeezed shut. Her genitals, which only just reached climax, gleam invitingly with slickness. When Kyoji's tip touches her, she lets out an adorable gasp. Here we go! As he pushes his waist forward, a wet, slimy sensation overcomes him. His cock slides into her warm, wet cleft. Her abundant love juices ease his way inside, allowing for smooth penetration. Once he slides all the way in, she wraps her arms around his back. Akane! Their bodies slowly start moving. Love juices gush out from within her in waves, soaking their entwined genitals. All the while, her vagina molds itself smoothly around his member, clinging to him. Kyoji can feel her clinging to him beneath his body. The sweet sensation of her supple breast pressing against him suffuses his mind. Akane clings to the sheets, her body shaking. She moans loudly as she thrones into her depths. Her legs lock tightly around his waist. Their bodies saw together as her folds tighten their grip on his penis. Akane lustfully raises her voice as she clings tightly to his body. Her slender, clever fingers trace along his neck and back as she tightly embraces him. Their upper halves cling tightly to one another, while down below, their lower bodies ceaselessly move in unison. The only bodies they're familiar with are each other's, meaning their movements match each other perfectly. Whenever Kyoji thrusts deeply, Akane bucks her hip up to meet him. They stimulate each other's most sensitive places, enhancing one another's pleasure. Each time their hips meet, wet and lewd sounds echo around them. It's fine, Akane, keep it up, it feels great! Even through the delirious haze of lust within his head, the sensations bathing his genitals keenly fill Kyoji's mind. The movements of Akane's genitals and the sweet cries she emits in sync with them abruptly intensify Kyoji's pleasure. Akane, Akane's moist eyes gleam as she looks at Kyoji, her face flushed. As they move at a crazed pace, her soft bosom and sweat-matted hair dance before his eyes. Akane's waist moves in lewd motions, keeping up with Kyoji's pace. Their thrusts accelerate. Each time he plows into her, the wet sound of their clashing bodies rings out together with a moan bordering on a scream from Akane. Do you mind if I snuggle up to you like this? Sure. With a giggle, Akane nestles against his body. Kyoji awkwardly offers her arm as a pillow, hugging her shoulders against him. The closed curtains make cuddling together a pleasant experience. An ever so slightly bashful atmosphere fills the air. The arm she's resting on has started to go numb under her weight. I guess lying like they do on TV shows isn't really all that comfortable. Akane doesn't seem used to this either as she keeps fidgeting around in an attempt to find a comfortable position. And before long, Kyoji's member ends up becoming erect again. Ah! Kyoji draws back his waist in a hurry. Akane brings her face closer to his, glaring at him.
Kyoji no echi.
Jeez, you perv. Sorry. Akane pouts for a while, but after a moment she suddenly says, Want to go another round? The moment she says this, Akane goes red and looks away. Cute. Feeling the point of no return approach, Kyoji stares into her face from close range. If you say stuff like that, I'll really do it. Fine by me. You sure? But positive. Of course you are. Alright. Kyoji brings his face closer to hers, intent on kissing her. But just as he's a moment away from contact, something knocks him away. She shoved him away with her palm to his face. Ow! You know what? I changed my mind. What the hell? You totally got me in the mood. Well, keep it in your pants for once. We just did it a minute ago. Seriously, you're the one who asked if I wanted another round. Well, yeah, but I changed my mind. Game's pretty accurate. Why? Why do you think? Because it's embarrassing. Now it's embarrassing after all that. Oh, come on. They both huff at each other. Suddenly realizes they've been arguing about something so stupid while lying naked pressed against each other. Akane seems to have come to the same conclusion because she pulls the blankets up over her chest with a sheepish smile. The hell are we doing, right? Yep. As they laugh, they rest their cheeks against one another. Yeah? They leave the apartment just as the sun's about to set. On the way to Akane's, they hold hands, making sure there's no one around. What are you laughing at? Kyoji asks that despite having a smile plastered on his face as well. Being with Akane now feels completely different from when Yuka was possessing her. He's on cloud nine and can't stop grinning. Akane tightens her grip on his hand and he squeezes back. Well, look who it is. Yamiko Oni-chan. Akane's voice perks up upon noticing Yamiko, but then it tapers off. Akane is probably recalling the terrible way Yuka treated Yamiko while the girl possessed her. Or maybe she's embarrassed because she hurriedly lets go of Kyoji's hand. Yamiko, in a typical Yamiko fashion, just looks at her with a slightly puzzled expression. Akane-chan, could you hold that thought? Yamiko slowly raises a hand. You were just about to apologize to me, right? But I have a feeling we might have a misunderstanding here. At least that's what my certified Yamiko intuition is telling me. Yamiko's eyes narrow as she smiles. I'll have Kyo-chan tell me the details later. Kyo-chan, you're walking her home, right? Yeah. Then you should get going. When you get home, you'll tell me everything that happened. Yamiko waves goodbye and walks off. They watch her until they see her disappear around the corner, then hold hands again. Let's go! Yeah. The days that follow are pretty rough. People's memories of the weird events that transpired over these last few days are patchy. There are things they remember, but others they completely forgot. On top of that, different people remember different things, sparking regular arguments. The person who was hit hardest was Akane, especially the way she was dressed during those days. It became the talk of the school. No, I told you it wasn't like that. Like I said, that was... She spends a good time, excuse me, a good while making excuses, blushing to the roots of her hair. Hey, did you hear? The Sandman got sent to the hospital. Apparently he got a gut ulcer. Wow. When he considers the possibility that this might have happened because Gore abused him inside that illusion, he can't help but feel bad for him. Even Ando doesn't deserve that. But honestly, it's a miracle that Ando is even still alive. The man was eviscerated in that illusion. Or was it all just an illusion? Maybe Ando's ulcer doesn't have anything to do with what Kyoji saw. But some people do remember what happened to Akane. Where did reality end and the illusion begin? Kyoji still can't wrap his head around what happened. The explosion incident had apparently gotten some media coverage, that much was established, some people taped the news. But it remained unresolved and public interest had moved on. The trashier weeklies ran stories about how some nerve gas buried by the Japanese army years ago was involved, but even that story soon died down. One magazine, though, seems to have taken the case seriously. I can't believe they actually let you publish this, Kyoji says with a shrug, seated on the living room sofa as he flips through the newest issue of Abraze. The editor was singing my praises for coming up with something that felt so true, you know? Close to the truth or not, surely no one is going to believe a word of this. The writer of the article is one Saitama Yamiko. But that said, the actual contents of the article are markedly different from the truth. It approaches the story differently from other publications, but Yamiko didn't actually use the story Kyoji told her or the details Yoshiki left behind when she wrote it. Kyoji doesn't know why, but on the day it all ended, when he returned to the apartment after walking Akane home, Kyoji recounted everything to Yamiko. All the illusions he saw at school, how he seemed to move from place to place, all the dreamlike occurrences. It didn't take long for his month to feel heavy from all the talking. He told her how he ran through the white void with Yoshiki's pendant in hand, how he confronted Yuka, how he rejected her, escaped from her, and then... Yamiko-san, I...
Mm-hmm.
This might be a bit rich coming for me, but this whole thing left a really bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about what Yuka did boils my blood. I still hate her. But when I told her all those things, she looked really hurt. And when she disappeared, she looked like she was in pain. I was really happy to get Akane back, but when I think about how I've hurt that little girl so deeply, it just feels really... With his elbows resting on the table, Kyoji hangs his head. After a moment's silence, Yamiko replies in a soft voice full of kindness. It's fine, Kyo-chan. That's how you should feel. If hurting people didn't hurt, this world would be so much more cutthroat than it already is. It happens, even with people you hate. The world's more peaceful this way, I'm sure of that. You think so? Absolutely, and good old Yamiko's saying that, so you can be sure it's true. Kyoji smiles, maybe she's right. He idly asks himself if Akane is asleep already. The slightly chilly night air has a tense feel to it. Yet its silence also feels gentle. Oh, so gentle. Kyoji can't help but hope that this night's air could somehow reach those who are already gone, wherever they are now. And that's it! That's the end of Gore Screaming Show. We did it! After all this time, we finally finished Gore Screaming Show. Now, there's a lot more you guys can do. A lot more paths you can take. A lot more really messed up stuff that you can see. Oh, Izumi Banya wrote that. Of course, Metal Wolf. I really did think this was a great horror novel. It was definitely worth the wait to have it translated, and this thing took a long time to get translated. I actually spoke to the translator of this, too. He was the one that told me about some of the more crazy scenes that you will never, ever, ever see on this channel or any of the others. If you want to see those crazy scenes, you'll have to play it yourself. Things do get very gory, and we're not talking about the, you know, the intestines. It gets worse. Chess USA, you can pick the game up right now. Oh, and there's Bloodnose and Seryu. And Zach Zeal. Oh, yep, Casual Scrub. ...2006, and they're remaking it. A few years later, it's not over yet.
Kyoji, これ, 5番 table.
Here, Kyoji, table 5. Sure. The owner hands him the tray across the counter. Come on, I'm working here. Walking through the crowded restaurant at a rapid pace, Kyoji makes his way to table 5. It was around the time Kyoji went to college. Yamako got offered a new job that required her to move abroad. With his parents' approval, Kyoji stayed in the apartment alone. He has a part-time job now and leads a pretty normal life. Akane hasn't changed much either. Here you go, your winter nights. Thanks for waiting. And that is the adult Akane. Well, college Akane, you know what I mean. Wow, that's a pretty sloppy way to talk to a customer. Now listen, you think you can waltz in here while I'm on the clock and expect me to throw you freebies? Excuse you, I'm a paying customer, you know. Paying customer, and the customer is king. Yeah, like no one's ever heard of a wicked king. Why did you just say to me, you doofus? Why do you think you made it here in time for your shift today? If I hadn't woken you up, you'd...
Kyoji, これ, 7番.
Kyoji, this one, table 7. The owner glares at him from the counter. Kyoji hurriedly runs around. Turns around, rather. Oh, drat, yeah, I'll be right over. Try not to work too hard. Ah, put a sock in it. Anyway, sit tight until my shift's over. I'll walk you home. Akane nods with a grin. Her smile is as bright and joyful as ever. He still feels like he hurt Yuka. What he did hangs on Kyoji's heart like a black stain. He rejected Yuka. It's not that he thinks he was wrong to do so. He can't forgive the terrible things she did. But that fact doesn't make the lingering bitterness and heartache fade away. He'll probably spend the rest of his life harboring this emotion. Maybe accumulating these kinds of bitter regrets is just part of growing up. Yeah, it is. Maybe bearing these stains, more than one can count, is just a part of life. Every now and then, the thought crosses his mind, leaving him reeling. but at the same time he remembers. The morning when it was freed from all those illusions, the scent of greenery moist with morning dew, the gentle wind brushing aside him, the beauty of the morning sun. It's probably because he can't forget the stain in his heart that he so often revisits the memory of that one morning. The warmth of the sun he always took for granted, the smell of the plants, his uneventful life. He will live on, holding these peaceful days close to heart. Yes, for the rest of his life. That's it, guys. I hope you guys have enjoyed this one. And we'll see you, I guess, with Dead Days next time, right? When we do the horror stuff. But yeah, we're not going to do any more gore screaming show. I may read some of the other paths later with skip mode, but yeah, as far as the rest of it, yeah, we're done. That's all we're doing. Definitely pick up the game if you want to see more of it. Like the other paths and all that and crazy scenes I talked about. But alright, guys, I'm out. I'll see you next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner. And happy Halloween! I hope you enjoyed it.